Letters to Daniel, Volume 1, Letter 1-2, A Return to Work, Part 2, Identifying Curses. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2011, in the 8th month, on the 16th day of the 8th month.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play and never see you when deliberately you put me in my way, well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because of the while. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Greetings, Dan. Before leaving my father's old job in October of 1999, I had some other experiences that were a continuation of my training in warfare. One occurred at the hospital where I now work. During my stay at Harborview in 1995, I had been diagnosed with sleep apnea. Later on during my convalescence, I sought treatment. I found that I did not tolerate a CPAP machine, but I was told about a surgical procedure that helped some people. After I started at my father's old job in February of 1998, I went to a sleep specialist slash surgeon who was later and was later scheduled to have corrective surgery. This surgery was considered outpatient, so I could go home the same day. During the post-anesthesia wake-up process, there was a nurse sitting in the chair next to my bed. While I was waking up, I was still a little groggy, but the nurse started to tell me something she learned in med school that had to do with my particular kind of surgery. It had to do with some kind or some sort of a curse. She said a word or name connected with a curse. After leaving the hospital for home, all I could remember from what she said was something like Osneed's curse or Osmeed's curse or something like that. I went back to work about a week later, but I kept thinking about the curse. I think I even did a Google search, but came up empty. Then, about a month after that, I went to Eagle Hardware looking for a new bathroom water fixture. In the plumbing section on a shelf was a row of boxes of what I was looking for. And on every box was the name of the company, or at least the product line. There, in bold letters repeated many times on box after box, was the word Ondine, and I knew then that that was the word the nurse said that I couldn't remember. Later, I Googled Ondine's curse. I found out Ondine was a nymph that put a spell on men after they left her if she felt jilted. The spell would cause them to suffocate in their sleep, hence the connection with sleep apnea. See Attachment 1 for the first paragraph for Ondine from Wikipedia. Another thing that happened at work after this was something interesting. I was wondering about what kind of ungodly spirits must have influence over school districts in general, and the one I worked at in particular. While I was thinking about this, these syllables formed in my mind. Myth, ro, tell, us. They didn't make sense at first until I ran them together to make a word. Mithrodilus, pronounced meh as in mit, throttle, us. Even then, it didn't make sense. but later the Lord gave me the words to write down to explain what they meant. Please see the second attachment for clarification. Blessings. Letter 1-2, attachment number 1. Ondine, mythology. Ondines, Latin, onda, a wave, are elementals, enumerated as the water elementals in works of alchemy by Paracelsus. Footnote 1. They also appear in European folklore as fairy-like creatures. The name may be used interchangeably with those of other water spirits. 2. Ondines are said to be able to gain a soul by marrying a man and bearing his child. 3. The German folktale of Ondine, a water nymph who curses her unfaithful husband to cease breathing if he should ever fall asleep again, is the basis for Ondine's curse, the historical term for congenital central hypoventilation syndrome, in which the afflicted lose autonomic control over breathing, placing them at greatest risk when they are asleep. Letter 12, attachment number 2. Mithridates. There was a village that was known as Mithridates, which was ruled by a chief named Mithridates. He was really quite weak and never would speak, still the people were awed by his pompousness. He was married to a voluptuous adulteress, who the people regarded as some goddess, but she was quite barren and spoke only by swearing, still the people were swooned by her lovelessness. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4.
Because all the while, I can see the light.